Yeah. You know what, Slee?
What do you got?
You know what we're going to do tomorrow, is it, Emily? I think it's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
We're going to make our picks against the spread, right? You're going to pick four games. We're going to pick the same games, and we're going to rank them. Little confidence point game, but little twist. We're going to have a listener join us every week. So we're going to keep a running total for Alan Sliwa.
Okay.
We're going to keep a running total for Travis Rogers.
And then a running total for listeners.
The guests.
Okay.
For the, right, our listener guests. We're going to get a new person every week to come in.
Okay.
We'll put you on, and you get to pick games against the spread and contribute to the guest total.
Okay. I already know that I'm going to dominate. There's a few things I'm really good at.
Mm-hmm.
Picking the spread is typically what I do.
Yeah, that's your deal?
I'm out in Vegas, make a couple of bets, get out of there, and come back.
So if you want to participate in that, you can send me a tweet. You can send Al a tweet and throw your name in the hat.
So they're
throwing
to
do that.
Any five games.
So no, Emily's going to pick the games.
Okay, five games, and then we'll let them.
Yeah, we'll have the Rams in there every week. We'll have the Raiders in there every week, and then we'll pick three other great games along the way, and that's how we're going to do it. So if you want to participate, go ahead and send me that via Twitter. And here's the other thing, Al. Unless you're welcome to participate here. We need a name for the segment. We need a name for the Pick'em segment that's not the Pick'em segment.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to throw that out on Twitter, too.
Okay.
Give us Travis some suggestions. And Sliwa and Travis, or whatever it wants to be, we can do that as well. Bonus Ask Slee time. Are you ready for that?
Sure. Sure.
I wish everybody could see your face for that. Does Slee say, I love what I do, so I've never worked a single day in my life? Hashtag Ask Slee.
I don't say that.
That's not your deal? Because it's not true, or because you don't say it?
I just don't say it.
All right.
Like, I get it. By the way, anything you do and you could love, we obviously both are always excited to grab a microphone and talk freaking sports.
Well, you know why? Because real work scares me.
Well,
like imagine having to do real work. I couldn't do it. I admire the hell out of everybody that does. I can't.
Here's the thing. I will say this. It also has something to do with the fact that at the end of the day, you know, you're going to pile on X amount of hours, and you're going to get to work. So you can enjoy what you're doing, but still kind of have the mix in of you handle it as
it's work. Never worked a day in my life. All right, so take me through your completely misplaced and ridiculous
enthusiasm
for the college football scene here in L.A.
Okay, last I checked, the AP Top 25 came out. The coaches poll came out. Oh, what do we have here? Is it the USC Trojans sitting at number 14? Wait a minute. Who's right after them? Number 16, the UCLA Bruins? So let me just get this right. Here we are talking about some of the different areas across the country, the powerhouses of college football. And I'm just going to go by the math here. UCLA is 2-0.
Yes, they are.
USC is already 1-0. We have two teams right here in Southern California, ranked in the top 16 in the country. You're going to tell me right now there's not a frenzy going on outside?
Yeah, because I can see outside. And I
tell me, people are not marching up and down the Coliseum talking about how their powerhouse.
Trojan fans. Look,
why am I kind of, why am I kind of excited that they're both sitting in this
ring? I don't know. I can't begin to.
Oregon's 12.
Uh-huh.
Who else is in this top 25?
Not Washington.
not Stanford.
No.
Utah sitting at number 21.
Uh-huh. Go
Utes. So you got four teams in the Pac-12 from 11 to 21. What does it mean?
Not much.
Probably nothing. But I want to be excited. I really do.
No, I know you do. And I admire your plucky little enthusiasm. I really do. I like that you're trying
I'm a dog or something.
Well, yeah, that's kind of how it reminds me right now, because here's the reality of this. UCLA had a really good win against LSU. I am not going to throw
cold water. That's a solid win.
That's a really solid win. And if they can avoid the trap to Fresno State that's coming up,
yeah.
I'm with you.
Well, let me just say this. If it's not Fresno State with a trap, it's going to be another game this year. I mean,
but UCLA's specialty, like, right, McDonald's makes the Big Mac, right? Burger King makes the Whopper. UCLA face plants after the big win. Then the following week. It's not down the line. It's the following week. This is their speciality. That's what they do. If they can avoid it, I'll get on board with UCLA, because Chip Kelly was it?
Because they have an
year?
Impressive win.
Yeah,
sure.
Sure. Okay. So the UCLA went from unranked to inside the top 16 in 2 weeks. Cool. Thumbs up. Good for you, Bruins. Don't lose to Fresno State. I'm with you on that. Where I cannot get with you is the SC piece. And I know where you're going to go because it's the same argument I have with one of my buddies. That, Trav, USC hasn't been good in 10 years. And you're right. And you're right. But there are a certain group of teams. The Yankees. The Cowboys. The Lakers.
Sure.
The Dodgers. That were not, hey, good try, fella teams. Hey, you guys don't suck anymore. Woo! It's not that with SC. SC, even though they haven't been good since Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart, really, little Sam Darnold pop, that was nice, but in and out, in season in and out, not really. USC is a team that should never be thrilled with being ranked. They should be thrilled with being ranked high. And being ranked 15th or wherever they are in this pool is not being ranked high. They had a pretty uninspired win over San Jose State. But they won. First game of the season. It can be sloppy. I'm not even going to beat them up too badly for being 13-7 in the fourth quarter against San Jose State. It's first game. Kind of put it in the trash can. Keep it moving. You're going to be hard-pressed getting me fired up about USC being ranked outside the top 10 when they're USC. Notre Dame, Ohio State, LSU, these teams don't get excited when they're, oh, look, we're back in the rankings. I just can't get there.
So here's the reality. Pretty much every season they start in the rankings. That's not unheard of, right? They're in the mix. They're not top five. They're not top seven.
The reason
they're not top three. They're not top 10. But they're usually, you know, wherever they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the season kind of continues, you have disappointing moments, and that's kind of been the case for USC. The only thing I share with you on this, Trav, I get what you're saying. You're looking at prestigious franchises. Mm-hmm. You're looking at prestigious universities. I'm not saying that you can't have that. You can't look back in the past and say this is how it should be. But here's the reality. It's not realistic today. It's
sure
not.
It is. Absolutely it is.
Okay, why hasn't it happened?
Well, it's easy. Clay Hilton sucks.
Okay, then why hasn't that changed?
Because their priorities have changed. Because let's go back to it. Why you said it's unrealistic. Why?
Well, no. Unrealistic is as, of course it's realistic for them to be a top seven, top five, right, top three team in the country.
So why are we throwing
a parade for being 15th? When I say it's unrealistic, what I'm talking about is they haven't given you a track record over X amount of years to make you think that it's going to happen. If the Dodgers have a chance every year to win a World Series over these last 9-10 years because they have built for you over this regime, over this time, that, hey, this can, no question about it, happen. With the Lakers, Jim Buss was never going to, you never felt like he was going to put the Lakers in a position to, okay, well, then a couple years, Magic and Rob Pelinka, now LeBron there. Now you have this realistic expectation. I'm just saying about USC, I have not been sold over the last few years to think it's realistic today.
You play in the second biggest city in the country.
Oh, I get all that.
Did you watch college football this weekend? And every single good quarterback that you saw, from Clemson to Georgia to Ohio State to Alabama, is from Southern California.
Yep.
Every last one of them. They're all from here.
Mm-hmm.
They all grow up here with USC in their backyard. They have a tradition as rich as any other program in the country.
So should be.
They have unlimited resources to spend.
Mm-hmm.
They have a historic venue to play in. It's a little outdated, but they did a good job with the renovation. There is no reason that the very best players in this city do not end up at USC, other than the fact that they had the wrong coach and that they've decided that they're okay being Utah instead of being Ohio State.
So that's my point. My point is that what you laid out should be is one thing. Are you doing it or not? Mm-hmm. They're not doing it.
But I'm not giving them credit for getting a toe in the water. I'm not going to give them credit for deciding, hey, kind of we're 15th.
Obviously, I'm looking at the rankings and I'm making fun of the fact that I'm excited. The reality is, if we're sitting here 10 weeks from now, and SC, and let's say SC is top 10 in the country, I'd be excited about that. I think that's the problem. Is we're 1 week in, and we all know that there's going to be bad losses. And like you said, for UCLA, it's okay. Well, when are you going to have that loss after
I
that big?
I really hope UCLA wins this weekend. I think that would be like the launching point into having a good season for them. I think that would be. You know what I'm really excited about today?
What do you got?
That Derek Jeter is finally going to go into the Hall of Fame
tonight. That's right.
And then I don't have to hear about it anymore. That's what I'm really excited about.
Why the hate on Jeter?
Because I don't get it. I know he's a great player, but so are a lot of other guys that go in. I mean, he's going in the Hall of Fame. I'm not begrudging him his spot in the Hall of Fame. He's great. He won the World Series a bunch of times, got 3,000 hits, all the cool stuff. Derek Jeter does not give me A-Rod. Give me the guy that's a human train wreck, that says crazy things, that runs around with J-Lo and emo pictures.
I'll go ahead and take Jeter.
Yeah, I know.
I'll definitely
that's your
Jeter.
Thing. That's Derek Jeter is unseasoned chicken at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I want something.
Pretty sure Jeter's a little bit better than that.
I want something that may upset my stomach, that may make me regret the decisions I've made.
You're all in or you're all out.
It's a little bit too late. I want something that's going to make me jump up and down.
We were doing this in the pre-show. We were talking about this. Best player that you've gone out of your way to watch. So here you got some Hall of Famers going.
Yeah.
Derek Jeter being one of them. If I, you know, kind of just trying to think here, players that you would go out of your way to watch. And you know what makes it actually more interesting? That they don't play for the team that you root for. You know, because if I say, oh, well, Kobe, I'd go out of my way to watch Kobe. Really? Well, I would actually watch Eldon Campbell, too, and Nick Van Exel and every
different.
Other player.
I kind of look at it differently. I'm looking at it as guys that, because it's not just because they're on your favorite team. If Kobe's a great example. Like if Kobe played for the Suns, right, you'd be, I can't stop watching that guy because of the way that he goes about doing it.
That's the point. I don't want you to name off a player off a team that you watch anyways. You know what I mean? Like a team you have no affiliation to that you go out of your way to watch. That I think is more interesting because you don't think so?
No. No. I don't like Patrick Mahomes, right? He's great. I'm not swimming in the Patrick Mahomes pool every day.
Okay.
He's fantastic. He's super exciting.
Let me give you an example.
I'm talking about appointment viewing. I need to watch this guy because he's playing tonight or he's in town tonight.
But why does that have to be on? But that's my point. My point is, I think we're saying the same thing, are we not? What I'm saying is, a player that you used to watch, I'll give you my example. I have no affiliation to USC, no affiliation at all.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the Reggie Bush days.
It's a great example. It's a great example.
Why was I getting together with my buddies at 7:30?
That's a great example.
In San Diego for USC to play Fresno State. Why? Because of Reggie Bush.
You just hated guys from Helix High School. That's all it is.
That's what it was.
The rival of your Granite Hills Eagles.
Yeah, no, listen. I played basketball back then. A couple dirty fouls from Helix.
Reggie's one of those guys. I'd love to hear who people think about that. 877-710-377. The guy that you would say, whether he's on your favorite team or not, like, hey, he's playing. Reggie Bush is a great example of
watch.
That, especially against a bad team. Like Kobe, I want to watch Kobe play the Toronto Raptors because he might go 81 again.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see that. We're spoiled here. There's a million of them here. We could do that. 877-710-ESPN. The Dodgers, of course, still a game back. Al, there's a number that you need to keep your eye on. I'll tell you what that is next. It is Travis and Slee, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Couple of good names here having our conversation about guys that you had to go see, that you needed to see, some of the best that you've ever seen. And the reason that we kind of got onto it was Derek Jeter's going in the Hall of Fame tonight. Certainly well deserved. I'm not a Jeter fan, but I'm not crazy. I know that he's good. People filled up Yankee Stadium to go see Derek Jeter, right? They weren't necessarily filling it up to go see Bernie Williams or Jorge Posada, really good players, but they were there to see Jeter.
Yeah.
Right? Who was the guy that you would go to see? That hey, I'm going to Lakers, Dodgers, Angels, SC, whatever. I want to see that guy. Like Reggie Bush is a perfect example.
You know what I love, actually? This is one of the things. I remember saying this when LeBron came to the Lakers, that I can't wait to see LeBron when the Lakers go to Boston, when they go to New York, and mm-hmm. he's rocking the purple and gold. There's something about, you know, whatever your home team is, I mean, this was a more recent one. Ohtani, right? Ohtani came to Dodger Stadium, and, you know, we both kind of talked about, like, how cool is this? People are going to go out of their way. Oh my God, I get a chance to see Shohei Ohtani. So you don't have to be an Angel fan, you could just be a fan of this individual and say, I have that opportunity to see him when he's in town. In the NBA, I think Steph has that power. When Steph Curry is in town, you want to see Steph.
No question.
I think KD has this certain I guess you could say power that comes with it. What an unbelievable player. If I'm looking at it from an NBA perspective, Steph has it. KD has it. Who else in the NBA?
LeBron.
But LBJ, this is the one thing with LeBron. Before LeBron came to the Lakers, and let's say LeBron's here on a Christmas game or something along those lines, I mean, just can you imagine what the average ticket sale just changed to? You know, right. That's what some of these guys do, but that's who I would pick.
All right, let's see what they say. Tustin, I think, and Rick. Rick, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's going on? Up, we lost Rick. Let's try Chris. Chris in L.A. Chris, you are on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, first and foremost, welcome back, Travis. It's great having you back.
Thank you.
You know, I think you guys, the crazy thing is, all of the players I wanted to see, we've been fortunate in L.A. to be able to see them as part of our team. You guys just rattled off a lot of them. And look at Shohei Ohtani now. So it really, for me, I never had anyone else who I really wanted to stop and watch. And then it hit me. And it happens to be against a rival, and that was Barry Bonds. When he was locked in that MVP year, I would stop because you rarely would see pitchers walk them because they were afraid if they threw.
Walk them with the bases loaded,
which they did.
Yeah.
It was going out of the park. And baseball, too, is kind of, you know, boring to watch for most people. But for me, it was Barry Bonds because you had such a great chance of seeing him hit a home run if they just even made a mistake and threw a ball close to the plate.
Yeah, Chris, that's a really good answer. Because when Bonds would come in, not only is it a Giants game, which you're excited to see, Dodgers, Giants, and everything that comes along with that, but that dude brought so much juice to ballpark. I mean, I swear to God, I didn't even mean to say it like that.
I know.
There's just so much electricity to the ballpark that you knew when nobody's going to get a beer when Barry Bonds comes to bat. You're not. If you're in line to get your beer, you're getting out of line. You're going to go stand in the concourse to see what he does. And that's what Bonds has that some other group. For instance, how about this? You know who I don't think anybody's going to say, and he's one of my all-time favorite players,
okay,
is Mike Trout. I am enamored with him since he came here. I think that he's on the short list of greatest players of all time. If he can do half of what he did in the first 10 years and the next 8 or 9, he's one of the greatest players of all time. He didn't have to be as good. He just needs to be. But Mike Trout's never really played in a game that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of takes, I mean, yeah, you can see him rob a home run or hit a home run or go first to third or all the cool stuff that he can do. But if they're playing the Mariners on a July night and they're both 12 games out of first place, who cares?
It doesn't have, obviously the it won't get the hype. Okay, here's the best example to go kind of against what you just said. This is what makes Mike Trout. The dude isn't playing meaningful games. How about week 3, September 26th? Who do the Rams have at SoFi?
Tom Brady.
Got Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So that's a perfect example. This will be the first time Tom Brady plays a professional game in Los Angeles. Remember, he hasn't played in L.A.
You're right.
Right? It'll be the first
time
he plays.
There wasn't a team here.
And then hasn't got a chance to play them yet. And I bring this up because there are going to be so many people that say, okay, listen, maybe they're big-time Rams fans. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're big-time Tampa fans. Maybe they're not. It's just wanting to be in the presence
of
one of the greatest to ever play.
Do you just want to be in the presence of it? Like, for instance, Tom Brady's a perfect example, right, that you could go see Tom Brady, and he could go out there and he could complete 25 of 35 passes and throw a couple of touchdowns.
I saw Tom Brady play.
And I'm not – mm-hmm. I'm not writing that off as an experience. I believe that it is. But would you rather take your chances of going seeing something like that, or would you rather take your chances to go see something like Steph, where Steph could go for 50. Steph could make 15 threes. You know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those things. Like, Brady's going to give you that baseline performance that's lights out. His team's going to be really good. He's not going to make a bunch of mistakes.
Yeah.
But Tom Brady lighting it up, maybe not. Steph Curry's probably going to light it up.
It's the example of I never got to watch Michael Jordan play in a professional game. Mm-hmm. I never got a chance to watch Magic Johnson play in a professional game. Like, actually be at an arena when these guys are performing. Tom Brady for me would be, I could check that one off. I got a chance to watch Tom Brady, and I've also seen Steph Curry in person, so maybe that's something to do.
The correct answer is Magic Johnson, by the way. Every single time you went in there, you're going to see something awesome. Mm-hmm. The Lakers probably going to win, which makes it fun, and he was going to do something extraordinary.
But you know what? You said something. You've talked about this because it's come up just randomly. We talk Mike Tyson, right? You always say, being at a Mike Tyson event,
yeah,
that's just a different – you can't compare it to anything.
He brought an element that very few athletes do.
And you can say you've been to a Mike Tyson boxing match. I can't say that.
Yeah, no, I went to a handful of them, and they were all the same. Like, some of the fights were terrible, some of them were mediocre, and occasionally you might get a good one. But a Mike Tyson fight was always exactly the same thing you had no idea what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And something really terrible might happen. Like, if you go to watch Tom Brady in a few weeks, right, you're going to see a football game. Tom Brady's not going to bite Andrew Whitworth's ear off.
Correct. But Mike Tyson, just to kind of play off of Tyson earlier in his career, there was always this, he might knock him out in 1 minute.
Yeah,
like, there was also the element of boxing that was there.
Absolutely. Let's try one more here. Let's go to L.A. and Tim. Tim, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up, Tim?
Hi, Travis and Slee.
Hi, Tim.
One of you, I think it was Slee, just a moment ago, mentioned the term being in the presence of.
Mm-hmm.
When you want to go see someone special. And in 1972, I was at Dodger Stadium the Sunday afternoon. They retired the numbers of Sandy Koufax, Duke Snyder, and Jackie Robinson.
Damn.
That was the year passed away. And one of my most cherished memories of baseball is thinking that on that day, Jackie Robinson and I were breathing the same air. I just felt like I was in his presence. And when you watch video clips of that moment, Robinson with his old white hair getting his number retired, they show a picture of the left field pavilion where I know I was sitting. And I always say to myself, that is proof that I was there. I could pick myself out amongst these 20,000 people. But being in the presence of Jackie Robinson is an experience I will cherish forever.
Appreciate the phone call, Tim. Thank you very much. That comes in on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. What a night. I mean, can you imagine?
Is there one right now? Is there an athlete today you haven't seen that is on the top? I got to see this guy before he's all said and done. Is it Tom Brady?
I've seen Tom Brady.
Oh, you've seen him. Okay.
Yeah, I saw him at the Super Bowl a couple of years ago when they played the Rams. I'm sure there are guys out there, the Messis of the world, the who's the other one?
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Mm-hmm. The guys that are at the peak of their powers that I haven't seen, but because soccer doesn't resonate for me like that. No, I have Lewis Hamilton in F1. I'd kind of like to see that. That would be pretty good. But no, I'm spoiled, man. I've seen, there's not an NBA player that I need to see that I haven't seen. Mm-hmm. I've seen Giannis. I've seen KD and Harden. And I've seen all those guys. The NFL, I've seen them all. Major League Baseball, I've seen them all. So it would have to be something out of the U.S. Is there somebody at the top of your list? Is it Brady?
Tom Brady, I've seen beat the Chargers a couple of times. So I've seen that one. That one's happened firsthand. I think there's something about being in some type of stadium, and it's Cristiano Ronaldo or it's Messi,
yeah,
and you got 100,000 fans going crazy. So I think I'd take one of those soccer matches.
Yeah, it's probably the right answer. I want to go to an F1 race too, basically because I just want to pretend to be a rich person.
Didn't you tell me to watch that
Drive to Survive? It's incredible.
I watched like an episode.
Yeah,
got to be honest, it was overrated.
You're missing out.
Emily, the guy promoted it as if I was going to watch The Last Dance.
It's not Michael Jordan. You already knew that story. How about trying something new? See, here we go. This is baked chicken at 3 o'clock all over again. I'll take the same thing I've taken every other day. Michael Jordan, yeah, guess what? He makes that shot against Brian Russell. Guess what? Scottie Pippen still takes himself out of that game.
I was watching The Last Dance like, oh, God, play some defense here.
I'm going to put ice in your water. We're going to start simple.
Watch out. Jordan's coming on the sideline.
All right. Dave Roberts is still Dave Robertsing it up. There was a Dodgers won last night. Pretty easy peasy. There's a big
question.
Don't
find a Dave Roberts moment.
I don't need to find it. It's sitting right there. I'll tell you what it is next. Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and... The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Help me out here.
It's a jam right here. It's a classic.
Who is it?
It's not Genuine, is it? Can I talk to you? Okay, I'm never going to sing again. I will never sing
That's the perfect introduction to Fact or Cap.
All right, guys, up first. You would rather go to a game at SoFi over a September Dodgers game. Travis, Fact or Cap?
For me, that's Cap. The SoFi is amazing. SoFi is something that everyone should go see.
Yeah.
But for me, Dodger Stadium is number one, number two, number three, number four, number five on my list. It is my favorite venue here in town. It is my favorite venue I've ever been to anywhere, featuring my favorite team in September with big games on the line. Can't beat it. That's an easy one.
I'm going to go Fact. SoFi Stadium, thing just opened. They spent $5 billion on it, which we've got a chance to go to. Maybe I'd have done a couple things different. No. Keep saying that every time.
It's okay. Like, my favorite line was, it's all right. There's, you know, I don't know.
We literally were walking into arguably the greatest sports design ever, and I just kept looking at you like, I don't know if I would have done that specific seating that way. but I think there's something to, you know, we were just talking about athletes and presence. We were talking about just kind of getting a chance to see greatness. I know you're going to get plenty. There's something special about a meaningful game in September, Dodger Stadium. Maybe you're playing the Padres. Maybe it's Blake Snell on the mound versus Max Scherzer. Maybe it's one of those games, right? But I think this SoFi first year just opening, fans for the first year, that to me has a nostalgia to it that oversees it for a very short period of time.
You have to see it. If you are a resident of this city and you get an opportunity, no matter whether it's a concert, Rams, Chargers, whatever, you need to get inside there because it is extraordinary. But one or the other, I'm going Dodger Stadium.
Madden is the best sports video game ever. Alan, Fact or Cap?
This is actually a tough one. There's some good ones out there, and I got Madden second, so I'm going to go Cap. I don't know what it was. FIFA back in the day.
Yeah.
Used to play FIFA like...
My kids love that one.
That's a good one. But I don't even know popularity-wise. I don't know if FIFA is the most popular. I have no idea.
It's got to be just as, like, you're talking about units sold or revenue created. It's got to be that. Madden by a mile, right?
In the States?
Yeah, well, it's true.
Right?
It's true.
But internationally, I'm thinking it's going to be FIFA.
Yeah, you might be right.
For some reason, I used to always pick France, play international play, and Henri.
You want to be Zidane or Zidane?
No, Henri was my guy.
Oh.
Henri was my guy.
I never knew if he was Henry Henry Thierry or Thierry Henry, or like there was a Henry in there, and I never knew, because with soccer guys, could be first name, could be last. It's like Ichiro. You never know where we're doing here. Yeah. So I was always confused by that
I'll go Cap. Madden's not the greatest. It's the second greatest.
Tiger Woods PGA Tour Golf 1999, I think, was the – I'm not a video game guy at all. Mm-hmm. That's one of the few video games that I ever kind of got invested in. And I got to, you know, pretend I had the little red shirt and the little red – black Nike hat. So I'm going to go that's Cap, because I'm going to go Tiger Woods video game, because it's really the only video game I know.
Is Mike Tyson Knockout, is that anywhere in that list?
Well, so okay, but if we're going like old school, like console games,
yeah, we go anything.
Oh, then I'd like to change my answer, please. It's still Cap, but I want to change NBA Jams. Back in the day where, you know, he's on fire. And you would the net would
start burning.
Burn up. You couldn't beat that. Once John Stockton got hot in NBA Jams, that was a wrap. You're making anything
I love
everything.
Out of all the players out there, you just get the ball to Stockton.
really hard to beat that team because this okay, you want to go deep, we can go deep.
Yeah, let's go.
By the way, Tecmo Bowl, also a great game. Mm-hmm. Be the Raiders, Bo Jackson, you could just run circles around everybody, no one could ever get him. But the Jordan one, at least the one that I remember playing, Scottie Pippen was his teammate, but Scottie wasn't Scottie yet. He was still kind of, oh yeah, that Pippen guy's pretty good. Stockton and Malone were like 9.9s out of 10. Both of those guys were dominant, always played the Jazz in that game.
All right, Matthew Stafford will throw for 6,000 yards this year. Travis, is this fact or cap?
Gosh, I want it to be a fact. Cap. That is a ton of yards. Just an absolute ton of yards. I don't think anybody's going to do that. I think he's going to have a great season. I think he's the reason they will be better than they have been at any point during the Sean McVay era, which is saying something considering they went to the Super Bowl. But 6,000 yards, isn't that, that's like averaging 45 points a game in the NBA. That's an extraordinary accomplishment.
I'll go cap as well, but I do think there's something to that. They're going to throw a ton. And listen, Cam Akers, that injury. Yes, you should have a balanced attack. That is, you know, obviously what the Rams will try to build, but he's going to get plenty of opportunities. He's going to have the opportunity to fling the ball all over the field. If the conversation has always been about McVay and, hey, Jared Goff has kind of held McVay back from an offensive play calling perspective, I don't think that's going to be the case.
Here's the problem. If he does throw for 6,000 yards, that's not good. That means that they're chasing constantly.
True.
You know what I mean?
Like you're down 17-3.
You got to throw for 400 yards a game to win, and you're trying to chase points.
Or they're just balling.
It could be. That's the better of the two scenarios, but I don't think he gets there.
Bobblehead is the best stadium giveaway. Alan, is this fact or cap?
I'm going to go cap. Okay, let me kind of explain my reason. By the way, growing up in San Diego, I don't know what it was, but if Marshall Faulk did not have a bobble night for every sporting event there, I think they had, here's what happened, Trav. Going to an Aztec game, I think they had a Marshall Faulk night like 10 years earlier, and they still had more left. So they were just using them every home game.
Like door stoppers?
Every home game. Like I was waiting for it to be on my windshield on my car when I got back to the
You order a popcorn and a Coke, you get a complimentary Marshall Faulk bobblehead? Is that kind of what it was like?
I'm not kidding. I used to joke around with my buddies. I'm like, is it just me or every time we step foot at Qualcomm Stadium, you walk away with a Marshall Faulk bobblehead? Okay.
That's so funny.
So out of all the giveaways that there are, you know, you'd get a LaDainian Tomlinson one. That's awesome. You get a Trevor Hopp. You know, like there are certain ones that there were. But I'll say this. Why do I love those freaking beach towels that they
those
used to give away?
So bobbleheads are great. Beach towel is great. Bergman can help me out here as a Dodger. There are two Dodger promos that I would have run over my grandmother to attend. They were my favorite. Number one, batting glove night. It was the cheesiest little thing.
No, that's good.
Little Velcro strap.
Nothing wrong with that.
Even worse, it had a piece of elastic on the wrist, so it just kind of hang there as like an oven mitt. It was a piece of junk, but I loved it. And then the other one, and I don't think they still do this anymore, unfortunately, batting helmet night. Remember that little, the cheesy, you know the thing you eat your Sunday out of?
I was just going to say now what they do is say, we're not going to give it away. Go pay $19 for one of those, and then you could have it.
I want the one with the little brown crown inside that you could adjust. I loved batting helmet night. Bobbleheads are top two or three for sure, but give me the batting
helmet. It's a solid one. I still don't know why a freaking beach towel.
Oh, for sure.
I'm like, this... this might be the greatest thing ever.
And it was like the Holy Grail. It's like a historic tapestry.
It doesn't even dry you when you're wet. Like
you
it does
it
nothing.
Once and all the color is on the bathroom floor. You can't put it through the wash. It comes out the size of a washcloth. The entire thing is a disaster.
Oh, that's
but
good.
Man, it felt good to get it. All right. Keanu's got another movie out,
and
it's
going to
go quickly on the short list of worst sequels ever. We'll break it all down for you. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So, The Matrix.
Yeah.
Fan?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool movie.
Yeah.
Unique.
Great movie.
Right? One of those things that when you saw The Matrix the first time, you're like, I've never seen anything like this. This is really cool.
It's when you start questioning the world.
Yeah. Well, maybe we're living in it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Matrix 2.
Arguably the second best movie I've seen.
Not so good, right?
No.
Matrix 3?
Let me tell you something. I had never watched Matrix 2 and I never saw Matrix 3.
You never saw? Okay, so no. I did see the second Matrix. Mm-hmm. Not very good.
Okay.
Not very good. The third Matrix, because the second one was bad, I tapped the mat on and was out right there. As far as the other ones go, Matrix 4 is coming out. We're going to get Keanu Reeves in the Matrix 4. You ready for that?
You know what I clown on every single year is when it's Fast and Furious, right?
Okay.
I clown on it. Like, come on. What do you
They're
mean?
They're on number 10 or 12, right?
I think they just did 9. And then you see their box office sales.
Well,
what they're
monster.
Still making.
Monster.
And I'm like, you know, they're laughing all the way to the bank. People, I think it has a big international following as well.
Well, there's no dialogue. It's just car chases
just
and
car
shooting.
Chases. So I sit here and I laugh at it. And here we are talking about Matrix 4. And I haven't seen 2 and 3.
Right.
Box office? Like, will it make money?
I mean, if Keanu's in it, people will go see it, I think. Right? But this brings me to the important question of the day.
Yeah.
877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. The worst sequel. to a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because presumably you've made a good movie. You want to make a second one. You want to cash in right on down the line. There's an easy answer to this question, and I'm daring anybody to talk me off of this because the original is a classic that I think the vast majority of people like,
mm-hmm.
and the second one is not only one of the worst sequels ever, it's widely considered one of the worst movies ever made. You ready?
Yes.
Caddyshack to Caddyshack 2. Caddyshack has...
I never saw 2.
Bill Murray...
Mm-hmm.
And Ted Knight,
mm-hmm.
and Rodney Dangerfield, and Chevy Chase, and all these incredibly heavy hitters of the era.
Yeah.
The second one had Jackie Mason and Jonathan Silverman. And it turned it into a miniature golf course.
How'd that get approved?
I don't know. And it is so heavy. Let me ask you guys this. Have any, Emily and Taylor and Greg, have any of you even seen Caddyshack 2?
Didn't know there was a second one.
There you go.
I've not seen it.
There you go. Greg, I can't see your hand.
Yeah, Greg has seen it.
You have seen it. Emily, I don't know if she's on the phone. So yeah.
Greg texted me that it is one of the greatest films he's ever seen.
Do you have one at the top of the list?
Okay, so Godfather 1, amazing.
It's right. Dan Aykroyd was in it. He's terrible in it.
Godfather 1, amazing.
Yes.
Godfather 2.
Really good.
Pretty damn good.
Really good.
Godfather 3, there's a big drop-off. So I don't know if you mean by sequel, I can't go like a couple movies in.
Uh-huh. No, that's fine. That
but
works.
I'll go a couple in. Godfather 3. Okay, here's another one. Let me think of the... Why am I drawing a blank on the name?
I don't know.
Should we
Let me take a phone call in the meantime because there are other suggestions.
Hangover.
Oh, yeah.
Hangover 1 was great.
It's too much of Leslie
Part
Chow.
Part 2...
No. Too much. Like too much. Yeah. Once fine, that's good enough. But after that, there was a little too much of that. Let's go to Oxnard and Brian. Brian, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up, Brian?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I agree with everything you guys are saying. One movie in particular that I'm a huge fan of growing up in my childhood is the classic original Dumb and Dumber. It was amazing. Still to this day.
Of course.
I'm a 30-year-old man. I say a lot of those quotes daily and with my wife joke around about it. But they made a remake of it. Not a remake, but a sequel of it with Jim Carrey and the other dude. And I think it came out like 6-7 years ago, I believe. I'm not sure on the exact time span it came out, but I went there opening night to watch it. Was so stoked, hoping that it can live up to the 1994 version of it, the original one that's a classic. And man, it was just trash. It was horrible. I'm not sure if you guys have seen it, but it was just bad. And I was never have I been more disappointed in a remake of any movie or a sequel or anything like that. But I think the gap was like 20 years or like
it was a long time.
It was a long time. Long gap that mm-hmm. I think it was too much to recover on to try to rekindle that kind of humor in a way, I guess. But I'm not sure if you guys have seen it, but it's bad.
I have not had the pleasure. Thank you, Brian. But Slee, that's one of those things because, like Brian said, the original Dumb and Dumber was great as a gross out comedy, really funny, but
classic,
funny.
Uh huh.
And then all of a sudden, 20 years go by and they trade. It's like, no, we're not doing that again. And universally. Terrible.
Okay, how about ones that, hit it?
Sequels?
Yeah.
I like the bad ones. Let's talk about the bad ones. Like, for instance, Francis and Glendale, Anchorman 2. Anchorman, great Will Ferrell movie. Again, Steve Carell.
I could find worse sequels than Anchorman 2.
Anchorman 2 is not at the worst, but compared to the original, it was basically the same movie again and not nearly as funny.
I got one.
Hit me.
Did you guys see Zoolander 2?
No.
Yeah, I did.
Zoolander was good.
Zoolander was great. The second one, awful.
That bad?
Yeah, awful.
Does it have Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson?
Yeah.
Yep, same cast. They do a bunch of cameos.
Just not good.
Let's try another one. Silver Lake.
It's definitely a kind of cash-in type of thing. Let's just cash in on this.
Brendan in Silver Lake. Brendan, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, man, I got a pretty off-the-wall one. I think you guys will enjoy it. This one debuted in 1988, had a little lull and then a resurgence. The Charlotte Hornets.
That's very funny.
Little pass, but the Charlotte Hornets, the two... take me back to Larry Johnson Alonzo Mourning.
Thank you, Brennan. Clever.
It's not bad.
I like that. Some Coming to America 2 votes on Twitter. Victor C., did you see that?
When Coming to America 2, I never saw it. And I tell you why I didn't see it. I didn't want to see it. We just talked about Dumb and Dumber, how much time in between. Trav, I kind of knew it wasn't going to be good. A lot of people, you know, their interpretation of it is, why did you even make this again? They probably cash in as well. How are you gonna top Coming to America 20-something years later? Or even be on par with it?
Here's the problem with Coming to America, the second one. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't good. The Coming to America is a masterpiece. The original is a masterpiece that we still talk about. McDowell's. It's still a reference that people understand. Sexual Chocolate is still, you hear it, you know what it is. The second one was just kind of rehashing those old beats along the way. I like this. This is from Buck is Woke. I saw Caddyshack 2 before I saw Caddyshack. Does that mean I had the worst childhood ever? Maybe.
No, it means you just go watch Caddyshack.
Oh, my goodness.
Go get the original in.
I'm worried about Dave Roberts. I am. I'm worried about Dave Roberts.
So you found something in yesterday's game to go at Dave Roberts?
Not go at. It's not a go at because it didn't cost him the game. Mm-hmm. The game didn't come unglued because of it. They were fine. They won the game comfortably 7-2. I think they had 4 home runs yesterday. JT had a couple. Why are we doing off days that aren't really off days in the middle of September in a pennant race when you're down by one game? Because I understand, like, Max Muncy needs a night off. He's a little cold right now. Albert Pujols, hometown hero, bring it back, give him a moment. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Cool. Mm-hmm. Mookie Betts needs a night off. All right. I don't love it because we need Mookie in the lineup, but that's fine. If this is what the docs are saying, if this is what his body is saying, let's give Mookie a night off. He played 3 innings and had 2 at-bats and came into the game later. Either play him or don't play him. What are we doing here?
I think there's so many times we don't have enough context of what's going on that I think, you know, I can't sit here in front of Dave Roberts or hop into Dave Roberts' mind and try to tell you why Mookie had the day off and then didn't have the day off. But, Trev, doesn't it feel like with Dave Roberts we're always kind of finding something, trying to find something to complain about, trying to find something to go at Dave Roberts with? I do feel that way. I genuinely do. And I say that because I'm not here trying to give free passes to anybody, but damn, do we find something to go at Dave Roberts about? It seems like every other day.
It's PTSD. It's the stress of having been through really weird decisions before. When you see him again, you're instantly taken back to that time where why is Clayton Kershaw left in the game to face Juan Soto after Anthony Rendon just touched him up? And then before you've even got a chance to process it, the ball's in the right field stands again.
It's true.
Why do you leave Yu Darvish out there to get his head kicked in game 7 when Clayton Kershaw's available to pick? It just brings back all of these memories all over again.
So I get that part, but we are in today, and they are coming off a World Series, and they are one game out from – you know, obviously first place with everything else that's kind of unfolded over the last, you could say the last couple of months of the season or whatever the case is. But I just feel like he gets brought up a lot. It's almost kind of like we were talking about yesterday. We were hitting on Bellinger, that we just find ways to go at Bellinger. I feel like we find ways to go at Dave Roberts.
Oh, Al, stop.
Well, the Bellinger part is fine, but we do find ways to go at Dave Roberts.
Yeah, well, perhaps, but the Bellinger, I don't need to find a reason to go at a guy batting $1.62. That's right there.
No, he's been awful.
1.62.
What'd you say he batted?
You know how many hits he has this month?
September?
Anybody? Zero. No.
We have the same.
Zero hits in September.
They got an RBI yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, give him that RBI yesterday.
1.62. His batting average fell 3 more points yesterday. That's what's going on. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We've got phone calls that I want to get to. The Twitter is blowing up right now, Slee, with bad movie sequels. There are far more of them than you and I could remember. They're helping us out there, at Alan Sliwa, at Travis Rogers. More on the Dodgers, and I'm going to give you another reason to go with Dave, because they exist, and I'm worried about it. Plus, why does LeBron get beat up the way he does? It's totally unique to LeBron James. It's all straight ahead. Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.